Yeah, so. I might have to, a couple of times I'm going to be gone, I'm probably going to have to make a couple of notes.
We also have this recording, so we're recording every class. The audio, I don't know how we're going to make them available. Eventually, I wanted to tape some of these classes, but to be all the, this is really supposed to quasi be a review of, so it's like a review of the materials that I'm sending you guys. Oh, and I'm always going to say to you guys, My Jewish Learning is a great resource, and JUFAC, or Judaism, My Jewish Learning, and Judaism 101, those are both great sites. There is a, in My Jewish Learning, there's a every section has a 7-question mini quiz. So if you want to know how much you don't know, take that quiz. It's online. My Jewish Learning, and what it does is, based on your answers, it'll give you sections that you should review.
That's nice. I like stuff like that.
Yeah. So it's My Jewish Learning is a great resource. There's and they have a lot of articles from different perspectives. So the article I gave you was a great perspective on why we have it. So we're going to start talking about the holidays now. All the holy days where we have a holiday. Holidays start. Just like Shabbat, they start at sundown. Okay? And literally, candlelighting is 18 minutes before. Unlike Shabbat, which we can bring in early. If you've been in Jerusalem, you know you can bring in Shabbat early. They bring it in early in Jerusalem. You can bring in Shabbat early. You can't bring in a Chag early. A Chag has to start on time. So Chag is different than Shabbat. When Shabbat and a Chag start together, you're supposed to start Shabbat with it, but you can bring in a Chag early only when it coincides with Shabbat. Okay. And in order to cook on a Chag, except it's on Shabbos, you have to make an Eruv Tavshilin. You have to make an Eruv, make a fence around the ability to cook. We did that in the Kashrut class. I'm not going to go into too much detail with an Eruv, but you need to make that Eruv to make sure you're allowed to cook. It's basically putting some food aside, saying, I am starting the preparations of preparing the food on before the holiday so you can cook. You can, unlike Shabbat, you can kindle from a lit flame. In fact, on a 2-day chag, you should have like one of those yurtzeit candles, one of the, and we'll go over yurtzeit when we do the life cycle, but one of those candles that lasts for like 24 hours, in memorial candles, and have that lit to light from that. And you can raise the temperature on your oven to actually cook. If you keep our oven on low,
only on a holiday.
And we're going to talk the difference between a chag and different things. The first set of holidays, we're going to go not calendar-wise, according to the Jewish calendar, when Nisan is the first month, we're going to go with Tishrei, which is the 7th month. Actually, we'll go with Elul, because it coincides. So Elul begins the High Holy Days. In Elul, we start saying what's called Slichot, which are penitential prayers, which we say as part of the repentance process. So Elul is prepping us for the High Holy Days by doing this side of sort of repentance. So we say Slichot. It's good that we have a Sidur here. If you look, we can get Sidurim afterwards, but you'll see there's different things for Slichot. But if you go here, they have our Slichot. We can do Slichot every day, we just don't do it in this synagogue. If you prayed every day, you could do Tachanun. Mm-hmm. Tachanun is a version of Slichot. Tachanun in the prayer service is where we bow our heads. It means bowing our heads and actually saying these prayers of repentance. Korn Sidur, of course. Why should it give me anything to do with anything that I want? Festival 7:29. When it starts. Hallel. Okay, we'll talk about Hallel in a second. Starts out with 9:25. So on 9:25 in the Korin Sidurs, you have Slichot, which you say every day, a section of it. You say a section of it. I'm talking about the idea of. And basically, they say here, one who answered Abraham, our father, and answered us, one who answered Isaac, you know, Misha Asayla Rahamavina Bahar Moriah, Hu Yanenu. He will answer us. He will answer us. He will save us. All that is El Rachum Shemecha, the merciful God, the one who believes. So it's all this, all these different viduis. There's a confessional. And it's the same confessional we say in Slichot, the Asham news, which you don't know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been here for high holidays yet?
Yeah.
Because you know when people pound their chest, and we'll go over the specifics of the of the High Holidays prayers with the Machzor when I do a pre-High Holidays class. But part of the confessional, we have been guilty, we have acted treacherously, we have robbed, we have spoken slander, we pound our chest on all of them. And we raise it forward. This is our confessional before God. It's called the Vidui, confessional. Okay. It's called confessional. We do it the whole month of Elul as part of the Slichot service. And we say, Adonai, Anaya, Rachum, Rechanu, the merciful God, the 13 attributes of the merciful God. And it starts on page 925 in the Siddur. And it says here, forgive us, our Father, of our great foolishness. We have blundered. Pardon us, O King, for our iniquities are many. And it does says it all together. You say this every morning before Shacharit. One of the reasons why, for example, many of the religious people who worked in the Twin Towers weren't killed is that those were sleepless days. Their services lasted longer, so they didn't get to work on time. I wish I could say I was making that up. It was a Monday morning, it was a Torah service, plus it was Slichot during Elul, or it was a Tuesday morning. Whatever it was, they were saying Slichot. And so God was on their side, and they were doing repentance, and because the service is a little bit longer. So the whole month of Elul, we do Slichot, we also do a blast of the shofar. Okay, there are no fast days or festivals. Really, this is the returning, this is the idea of Teshuvah. We add Psalm 27 in the synagogue, asking God not to turn away from us. Okay, the shofar is sounded after the morning service each of the 29 days. Penitential prayers. And this is basically not just return to return to God, but also to one's true self. This is the time where we actually, this is a whole idea of Teshuvah. It's unique in Judaism in the sense of what Teshuvah means. Okay? The word to return, it's actually a derivation of the word shuv, or to sit, and it's to return to that place. And we translate it as repentance, but what does repent mean? It means to really come back to what the true self is. So we start that process in the whole month of Elul, which is 29 days. So for all our iniquities, and we are human beings, we have plenty of iniquities. The moment after we were born, we had the potential for sin. Now, as a baby, we didn't sin. But, you know, the potentiality was always there, just as the potential was for Abraham to sin. You know, in Judaism, if you talk about sin, when we talk about the historical context and text, we sin as Abraham sinned, not because Abraham sinned. So the whole notion of sin means that we have the propensity and the possibility of doing both good and not so good. So sin for us is a totally different construct. Hence, there's no need for someone to save us. The only people that can save us is ourselves, through teshuvah, through repentance. And Rosh Hashanah is so, and Yom Kippur is so important with regards to teshuvah, we start 29 days beforehand in Elul. Okay? Almost the sound of the shofar, like it does on Rosh Hashanah, that awakens our soul to the notion of this repentance, it starts it for 29 days in Elul. It's a phenomenal minhag. I wish more people actually came to shul on a regular basis in Elul to hear the shofar every day. So it's not so special. Rosh Hashanah is the culmination of this. It's actually a Rosh Chodesh. It's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Happens to also be Rosh Hashanah. It falls on one Tishrei. It's usually in September. This year it's September 13th, 14th, and 15th. And yes, I know the dates off by heart because I'm crazy with numbers. Okay? Okay. It's also known as Yom HaZikaron, the Day of Remembrance. It's also Yom HaTruah, the Day of Shofar. The only time we don't blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is when?
Shabbat.
On Shabbat, when Shabbat coincides with one of the days of Rosh Hashanah. Okay? And basically, this is the birthday of the world. This is Jewish lore says that God created mankind and we symbolically re-enthroned Him. And that event calls for an appropriate amount of celebration. So there's also celebrations. Now, in the Kashrut class, we went over all the various foods. And to be honest, the best place to get it is you go to like a Chabad site or whatever site you try to get. And it lists all these different brachot and different fruits and different foods that you eat and the symbolisms behind them. The pomegranate, because there's supposed to be 613 seeds in it for all the mitzvot. A fig because of the ability that, well, a fig because I said it looks like testicles, but really it's because it's got all those seeds inside, the idea of being fruitful and multiplying, the first commandment in the Bible. So all these different things are part of it, but there's this transformation that comes over it. Everything is changed. the ark, the parochet, the mantles of the torsos, everything is white. You change them here too. You know, there's a whole ceremony usually at the end of Elul where you actually change it. Now the Sabbath preceding Rosh Hashanah is called is actually when you have slichot in the evening, motzei havdalah. Like after havdalah, you know what havdalah is? Havdalah is the ceremony that we talked about through Shabbat that breaks the Shabbat to the back to the secular week. So it's a ceremony that we do. We'll do a havdalah between now and the graduation where we actually come together and we'll sing and we'll smell the spices. We've done it here before. We did it with the movie. Every time we did a movie night, we did it. So we start the movie night again, we'll do it. But I'll take a video when Serena's in camp. To watch her camp to Havdalah is unbelievable. And they sometimes send it on Vimeo, and you can watch it. It's the most powerful Shabbat there. Everybody, da 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 da. So, anyhow, that was a nice tangent. So everything is white. We wear white, a symbol of purity. It's a color of purity. God's cleansing us from sin, a color of festivity. And actually, on Yom Kippur, we would also wear a kittel. Some people wear it on Rosh Hashanah as well. I wear mine on both holidays. Okay, we'll talk about Yom Kippur in a second. It's actually the kittel that I got married in, that I'll be buried in. I wear on two holidays. I wear it on. I wear it on three holidays. I wear it on the Yomim Noraim because they're considered really one holiday. The high holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I also wear on Passover and the Passover Seder. I didn't wear it here, I wear it on the first night. Clearly I was not going to wear it with kids eating the crap that they were eating here. Sorry that that's taped on there. And basically, this is the lumber different, it's the, so basically we're buried in, we wear it on Pesach, it's a symbol of freedom, Rosh Hashanah, the cantor wears one, Shmi Atzeret, we wear one, days that we seek forgiveness, we wear it. So these 10 days, Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, are called the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Do you have that in your notes? Do you have that notion? The 10 days of repentance. Am I way up here? Okay. So, Aseret Yemei Teshuva. I have it up there. So, the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are called the 10th days of repentance. We actually change some blessings. And we say Hamelech HaKavod versus Melech HaKavod. We say add in the Hamelech, we change certain things in the Amida. Okay. So the idea, this is a whole idea. Rosh Hashanah begins at sundown with the candle lighting, synagogue services, kiddush, and a festival meal, a very festive meal. We also add the Shechayanu. Okay, for those of you who know, the Shechayanu has given us life, sustained us, and allowed us to reach this day. Okay, and the Shechayanu, by the way, is a prayer recited for almost any special, long-awaited occasion, from holidays to bar mitzvahs. The pleasure of saying a blessing is considered so profound that observant Jews will don a piece of new clothing at the beginning of Shabbat just so they can recite it. When you put on a new piece of clothing, you can say the Shechayanu because it's the first time you're wearing something. When you read a fruit, that's one of the reasons why we on Rosh Hashanah and on Tu B'Shvat we read new fruits so we can actually add in the blessing of the Shechayanu.
But how long is it supposed to be before you have eaten it?
A year.
A year? So I haven't eaten a mango in a year.
So you can eat them if you eat mango.
Yeah, I haven't eaten over a year.
Then you can have that. Once you get more creative, like eating star fruit.
Star fruit.
Or you know, a cactus or a sabra. Get a sabra. Whole Foods, by the way, always has great, great exotic fruits. One year we bought tamarind.
Wow.
And we actually peeled it, and that was what we said to Chuck Anna, because I don't know if you know what tamarind, and people might taste out of it and have sauces in Thai cooking, but it's like it tastes like fruit, like leather, fruit leather. It's so good. But we did it. We didn't know. We had no idea what we were doing. We always try to find something freaky. And Whole Foods that are, and I don't know if it's like here. I'm trying to think of the, eventually we'll get there. But in Greensboro, they have a whole section where they have all this organic vegetable. And every year there's something funky on there. Like if you haven't eaten pomegranates in a year, you say Shechayanu also. And that's a fruit you do there. The custom is to dip an apple. Dip the apple in the honey. Have a very sweet new year. Shana tova umetuka is what we say. Shana tova umetuka. Have a sweet and happy new year. Okay? Have you heard the expression? Shana tova umetuka.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Shana tova. Okay? Okay? The liturgy is structurally the same as that of the other festivals. and we've gone through the liturgy and the festivals, we're breaking it down. There's a special holiday that's added in called the Utane Tokef. Let us relate the power of this day. It's a 10th century prayer that recounts the judgment of God. Who shall die by fire? Who shall die by water? So the Utane Tokef is an unbelievable prayer. The God to whom we pray on the day of awe is not a cruel or vengeful God. Although Rosh Hashanah, we are put on trial for the actions of the previous year to be sentenced on Yom Kippur. There is a symbolic court going on. And this is our day to really ask for mercy. One of the customs that we do is we actually ask our neighbors to give us forgiveness for anything that we may have offended or done to them during the year. We ask for mercy. We have Avinu Malkeinu. By the way, it'll be your first high holidays this year. It's very powerful. At times it's overwhelming. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's actually overwhelming in a good way. You can ask, you guys, you've been to high holiday services, and when you guys went to your first, it's overwhelming in a very, very good way, not in a bad way. Because it's the melody is very different, but there's a sort of, touches your soul in a very unique way. And when you do a Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu Chanenu Vanenu Ki Ein Banu Maasim Osei Imanu Tzedaka V'Chesed Osei Imanu Tzedaka V'Chesed V'Hoshienu. We don't say it on Shabbos though.
I repent.
But normally we do. We also blow the shofar 100 times. I don't know how much Tzachi does it here, but yeah, I blow it 100 times.
Now that's the song is sang the same all the time.
Yeah, Avinu Malkeinu, everybody sings it the same.
There's no different versions of that song.
No, that's that. Well, that's just that verse. It's translated, the ram's horn is usually fashioned from an animal. Horn of a goat, antelope, or gazelle is also acceptable. A bull's horn is not acceptable because of the golden calf. Just so we know that. Shofar calls are linked to the three concepts of God's sovereignty, Malchuyot, God's merciful remembrance, Zichronot, and the eventual coming of the Messiah, which are Shofarot. So again, connected to Malchuyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. These are some of the things that you should know that could be on the test. This is specifically, just so you know, and you'll see that you'll have the questions. So it's that stuff that you have Zichronot, Malchuyot. Do you have that? The holiday of Rosh Hashanah? Okay, so you go back. The link that I gave you for Rosh Hashanah has all this in it.
But you also missed, what is that? Is that Tashlik or something?
Well, I haven't done Tashlik yet. I'm going to do Tashlik in a second, because I'm going over the first two. This is the stuff that we do on both days. Now, Tashlik, awesome that you mentioned, I'm going to mention it right now. After Musaf service, okay, what we do is you do Tashlik. We actually go to a running water. I don't know where you guys go to your Barton's. I don't know.
No, I'm going to have to show Creek. I mean, to Bull Creek.
Okay. But you, and you can do it any time during the Seret Yemei Teshuvah, but the first part you can start doing it is actually after Musaf on the first day. Usually they do it before Mincha. Last year at Fort Hood, I did services at Fort Hood. We walked all the way, actually walked almost all the way to the north, but there's a couple of rivers. We walked from the chapel. We did a 2-mile hike. It was a great hike. And we did it in one of the rivers of Fort Hood. It was
just
amazing.
Open river.
And any open water that has fish in it has to have fish in it, because the fish eat up your sins. What you do is you empty your pockets and cast out anything in your pockets, but you can also bring leftover bread. But you cast out everything that's symbolic.
So the fish are hungry.
So this is breadcrumbs symbolizing their sins from previous year. Cast them into the water, reciting various psalms. It's a penitential act developed in the 13th century, and we do it today. It's a lot of fun. It's a very family-oriented kind of minhag.
Yes.
And basically, it's a really, again, cool thing. Now, for someone like me who's very logical, it makes absolutely no sense, but it's a great custom to do. Okay? Almost as much sense as the next thing I'm going to tell you in about a couple of seconds. Okay? Now, yes?
So what are the three things we're supposed to
do? Okay, so the three things, as part of the Musaf service, we do the shofar blowings over three different things, called... First of all, is God's sovereignty or kingship, the Malchuyot. If you have this book, it's on 95, but if you don't, it's going to be in the thing. God's merciful remembrance, Zichronot. and the coming and God's evocation and revelation and the coming of the Messiah, which are called Shofarot. So we blow it before the Amidah 30 times, and then these other another 40 times here, and then another 30 times at the end. Now, between now and when, again, we're going to do a pre-high holiday class to get everybody prepared during Elul. It's important to do, and we'll actually bring in the shofar. We'll blow the shofar for everybody. People can see it. They can try blowing it themselves. Yada yada. But we'll also go over some of this stuff. So don't, you know, you don't have a machzor. The machzor has it, and the machzor is the sidur for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's called a machzor. Okay. Okay. Okay, so in the days of repentance, okay, we change a little bit of the verses. The first day after Rosh Hashanah is actually a fast day. Okay, now during this time, God is weighing us whether we should put in the Book of Life or the Book of Death. Okay, and again, this is a symbolic, and we're not supposed to use a morph. Yeah, whatever Rambam talked about.
Which are the specific prayers that would face like sacrifice? Musaf.
So the concept of sin judaism is not quite the same as Christianity. Chet comes from archery. It shortfalls from the mark. Okay, so it doesn't hit the mark. There's two kinds of when we talk about sin in theology, and this, we'll go over sin. There's two types of sins. There's an avera, which is a wrong, doing something wrong, and a chet, which is missing the mark on something. So it's a little bit different. And basically, the key to teshuva is not merely to acknowledge these failings, but wherever possible to undo them, to confess the sin aloud to the one we have sinned against, to ask forgiveness, and to pledge not to repeat the transgression. This is also a time where we go to the graves of it's traditional gravesite visits to those and say, to make sure that, watching Mulan, going to the grave and saying, making sure that the ancestors have forgiven you from all the sins, but it's sort of a interesting thing. The Shabbat is called Shabbat Shuva. Shabbat Shuva is the Shabbat intermediate Shabbat. Usually, there's I'll be giving the sermon here most likely because I'll be here, so it'll be on repentance. I'll do it here or there for Hood. I don't know which one. And this is basically the idea of getting people to repent. Usually there's also a plea for money, but that comes out. Mm-hmm. The day before Yom Kippur is a minor festival in its own right, because we start so early, so Erev. And this is the day when they do a final meal. There's different minhagim that people do, usually not trying to do something salty, some kind of soup. And they do what's called kaparot in the Orthodox communities. You know what kaparot are? Kaparot is the expiation of sins. You take a chicken, you put it over your head several times, and you cut it off and give it to the poor. And again, similar to tashlich, okay, and mostly do it in the Hasidic communities today, a live chicken is waved over the heads of the family members while a prayer for redemption is said. Chicken is then slaughtered and given to charity. More recently, the tradition has been altered by some, so the money for charity is tied to a handkerchief.
From the neck, right?
What? From the neck. Yeah, it's killed kosher-wise. You roll it over and slit it in the right spot. But people now put money in it. You put money in a handkerchief and do this money the same thing and give that money to charity. It covers the same thing. Okay. As the evening approaches for Yom Kippur, I really want you guys have at least been to a service. Nadine has never been to one, so I want to wait 2 seconds to give her about. But you know that that Yom Kippur is called the Sabbath of Sabbath, Shabbat of Shabbaton, the night before. And you know what? For this one, I will. Actually, pardon me?
I forgot what it was called.
You'll know when you get there.
Something holy evening.
Vows.
No, maybe I'm thinking of
the wrong. Well, I don't know what you're thinking about, but you're going to hear something in a second. You're going to find the right one. It's a very famous thing, so. Well, people that I know at least. I know one of these.
across the country, one refreshing sip at a time.
So the cancer, the singing is Cancer Helfgott, who's the chazan of the Great Synagogue in, I don't know if you can hear it so well with you. Maybe do it without the violin. Where'd it go? I need to do this again.
Why? Do you know the password for the internet here?
No, offhand and I don't.
No. I don't
know. Do
you have
Wi-Fi?
No, I do too.
4G?
No, I do too. But
yeah, but the internet helps you with stuff like this.
Make the password.
I mean, I don't know how you guys have heard of Kol Nidre.
Oh, yeah.
Kol Nidre, that's what I was thinking about. Like, holy night. So that's when Yom Kippur Kol Nidre, okay, that's
the only time you were tell us at night, it's Kol Nidre.
That's why I kept saying holy night, but I don't know.
It's not holy night. Kol Nidre is all. It's an element of all vows. All the sins, all the vows they have made.
I kept thinking, how do you do it
now? I want to see it. There's, the best one is Moshe Kozlovsky, but I don't see it here.
I know, funny thing, but I kept thinking, how do you do it? But it is Nidra's night.
Yeah.
Whole night.
Lila's night.
So what is Nidra?
Vows. Vows.
So it's all vows.
So these are all different cantors. I mean, if you go on to YouTube, there's so many ones. You can hear the version of Moshe Kusevitsky singing it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That guy there.
That's the wrong. I mean, my uncle sang it beautifully also, but you know, you don't see anything of him. Let's see if this one is that one.
Yeah.
But cantorial music is amazing.
It is. It's best music.
Yeah, but my uncles were cantors, so this is stuff I grew up with.
Yeah, wonderful.
Just so. Although Neil Diamond's version from the jazz singer is not good. But, you know, the jazz singer, the original jazz singer, which had Kol Nidre in it, was the first talkie. The original jazz singer was the first motion picture with sound. And Kol Nidre was on that soundtrack.
Wow.
Think about that.
Motion picture.
Well, you're talking about, what's his name? The white face.
No.
Al Jolson.
Jolson.
Was Al Jolson? Yeah. Because he was Jewish, right? He was one part of the. And he sang Kol Nidre. But that was the first time that it was recorded in a live picture. So, anyway, so Yom Kippur. I'll have to repeat it, okay? Because otherwise I'm not forgetting. Okay, it's called the White Sabbath. These names, there's also the. Yom Kippurim, it comes from Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 16. Basically, all the males over the age of 13 and the females over the age of 12 are obliged to fast. If you're sick, whatever, there's certain, if you're pregnant, there's some conditions you don't have to fast. Okay, the idea is that it's not being lenient. Rabbi Soloveitchik said that I'm being strict. When it comes to saving lives, that's why you eat if you're sick. Saving lives is more important than fasting.
So this is no water, nothing, right?
Fasting. It's a 27-hour fast, approximately. The fast serves several purposes. First, it is a penance for our wrongdoings. It's a symbol of sacrifice that underlies our sense of remorse in God's eyes. It's a display of self-discipline, a sign that we can control our appetites in all things. The fast should help us to focus on the spiritual rather than the material, thinking not of business or food. Or drink, but the God and the sacred. And if we fast as if for one day we are angels, purely spiritual nature. Finally, some have argued fasting is a way of awakening compassion in ourselves, making us experience for a single day hunger so that many live with constantly. So no food, no drink, and the wearing of leather. That's why people wear running shoes. You shouldn't wear leather running shoes if you can avoid it. Jews are not permitted to have sexual relations, wear cosmetics and lotions. Very similar, because it's a day of mourning in a lot of ways. Five services. There are five services in Yom Kippur. Unlike the three that we only have, we have five. We have Mariv, Shacharit, okay, Mincha, Ni'ilah, and the Kol Nidre service. So,
I remember that.
So Kol Nidre, all vows. And there's Shacharit, Musaf, Mincha, And then there's also Yiskur. We do a memorial service inside the days. Again, we'll go into more detail on some of these holidays when we actually do the pre-class, because I want you guys to really be prepared for it. It's proclaimed that the court before Kol Nidre, you also pray with sinners. So on Yom Kippur, no one should be excluded for a feel estranged from the community, no matter how grave their transgressions. And everybody should be there. Kol Nidre takes its title from the opening words. And it goes, Kol Nidre v'chinu sei v'chinu yei v'harmei v'chinu sei. I grew up with a cantor and a choir. Yeah, so Kol Nidre was actually pointed to by anti-Semites as proof that Jews' word to a non-Jew was worthless because they would annul all our vows. But talking about the shortcomings of humankind, it's a very symbolic prayer in that way. In the first century of Reform Judaism, Kol Nidre was omitted from Reform and Machzor, but now it obviously was put back in. The daytime services of Yom Kippur include two significant elements unique to the holiday. They actually have the Avodah services, which, is, as you said, were specific sacrifice services that we do. And really, it's commemorating the time the high priest, with tied by a rope around his waist, would go into the Holy of Holies and ask for to forgive all the sins. And they say the high priest would utter the secret name of God in there, and talk about that, the idea of those I remember, the remembrance, the martyrdom of the 10 people who were killed in the time of Rabbi Bar Kokhba, Rabbi Kiva, when the skin was flailed, or when he was wrapped in the Torah, the 10 martyrs. We talk about martyrdom, and saying that is repentance truly possible? We read the book of Jonah. The idea of even Jonah could repent, even the sinners in Yavnik. What's the name of the town? Nineveh. Even the people in Nineveh, no matter how sinner they were, when they showed true repentance, they were able to repent. And Jonah, tried to not be it. We have this Ne'ilah service, which is the gates closing, the gates of heaven, the last chance. But it's really not the last chance, because we actually have a whole bunch of time after Yom Kippur to get it through Sukkot and the high holidays. And then you have Maariv afterwards, and Havdalah that follows. Also, because we had Rosh Hashanah the week before, it's time to go out and do a Kiddush Levana, go outside and welcome the new moon because it's full. Because it's 10 days after, so you can actually see the moon. So you do it on that as well. So go ahead.
No, it's like when it's Havdalah and Shabbat, you can light a flame.
Havdalah, Shabbat's over. Yom Kippur can never be on Friday.
No, when it's, because I'm still thinking about a Hag, which is a high holiday on Shabbat, right?
Yeah, well, Yom Kippur can fall on a Saturday, but it can never fall on a Friday.
So then you could start a fire at night?
It's over. Once you blow the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is over. So you daven Maariv, and then you do Havdalah, and you can light a fire. The holiday's over.
So you do Havdalah still at night on Shabbat?
Yeah, always do Havdalah at night on Shabbat, after it's dark. Mm-hmm.
But what if it's just a regular holiday on Shabbat? I mean, not like...
Then you would do Havdalah. If the Shabbat was Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
right?
You would do Havdalah when?
Saturday night? No.
Sunday night.
Sunday night.
At the end of the...
Stuff like
but
that.
You can do a quasi-Havdalah, okay, on Pesach this year. Pesach this year, we did a quasi-Havdalah. But we didn't say to go from Kodesh... to Chol, we say from Kodesh to Kodesh.
Yeah,
we did it. It's part of the because this year was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right?
Wonderful, yeah.
So we did on Saturday night. We were supposed to do as part of this Haggadah. It actually has a section there. If it's Saturday night to do this little bracha, then you don't do all the things. You can't do certain things, the fire, but you can do, because you can light on a Chag. You can't light on Shabbos. So if you have a light that's lit, because the Chag is over, because Shabbos is over, you can still light.
But if the Chag is on Shabbat, you still can't light a flame.
Yes, you can. I can light a flame Friday afternoon before Shabbat.
Right. Existing.
And it's existing after after Shabbat ends. It's still a Chag, so that existing flame, I can use it to light the Havdalah candle, to do Havdalah, to go from Kodesh to Kodesh. It's a great question. How to tell you? It's a great question. The Yahrzeit candles is the best.
Those candles last 24 hours.
At least.
If not longer.
Out of the year.
And then you can light another one.
We can't light another one on Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
If it goes out, you're done.
No, I'm talking out.
On a Chag, you can light more than one.
Now, can
so
you light
like, let's say Friday. Let's say, oh. let's say the Chag was Sunday, Monday. Oh, this year it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So you can light a candle on Sunday night, and any time during the day on Monday, you can light the candle. You can relight the candle. You're not going to say a blessing over it because it's a lit flame. Anytime you want. That's why I said the second day of Chag, a lot of times people make Sukkot, this big one, make barbecues.
But you can't, like a 24-hour candle, you can't light another one off of that one?
Sure you can.
That keep going, you know.
Not on Shabbos. Not on Shabbos, but yeah. On Chag you can. Because it's the way from lit flame to lit flame.
But not on Shabbos.
You can have a campfire. Keep the campfire lit the entire Chag. Because you're allowed to add to the fuel to the flame. Now, it's supposed to be for the purpose of cooking. So if you are camping out somewhere, which is a big thing in Israel, people camp out on Sukkot, right? Because that's the real Sukkot, right?
Great weather. Probably.
Well, no. You're supposed to be under the stars.
Under the stars.
What a great time to hang out.
Mommy, that time of year is still really clear, and it's not super high. Yeah.
Here. You want to come up to Montreal, and do Sukkot in Montreal, and eat the Sukkah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when it's a late. This year's gonna be okay because it's early October. But next year, whoo, when it's late, nah, you don't want that. Okay, so about four days after Yom Kippur is Sukkot. Sukkot. Sukkot is a pilgrimage festival. It is, and by the way, when the minute Sukkot ends is when you can start building your sukkah. You can actually start building your sukkah before Rosh Hashanah. But you can't complete it before Rosh Hashanah. You know what I said? You can complete it in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, but you can start it. You can have everything erected. You can put it even the schach up. But you have, if you didn't put it, don't put up your decorations until after Yom Kippur.
Right.
Now, since this year, the Chag is Sunday night, a lot of people finish their sukkahs on Sunday morning. So that's when that's the best day to put up the ornaments and the tchotchkes. Personally. It's a good day to do it. Okay? And basically, for 7 days you shall dwell in booths. Every citizen of Israel shall dwell in booths so that your generations will know that I made children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of Egypt. It's a three pilgrimage festivals along with Pesach and Shavuot. Like Pesach, it is a 7/8-day holiday. I say 7/8 days. Actually becomes a 9-day holiday because we add on Simchat Torah, which is rabbinic. It is a biblical holiday. It is from the Torah. Just as Shavuot and Pesach are, okay? This is when you bring the offerings from the fall harvest. Okay? And basically, it's really our Thanksgiving. If you think about it, this is, although Jews have Thanksgiving every day because we say Modeh Ani every morning, that's Thanksgiving. Sukkot is our Thanksgiving holiday. If you think about it, the odds are that the pilgrims Thanksgiving dinner was Sukkot.
Pretty good, yeah.
That this was something that was adopted from the Old Testament. They were pilgrims, right? So they would have some kind of harvest festival meal associated probably with Sukkot.
So it was adopted from that?
A lot of the Christian... All the Christian holidays are adopted from Jewish holidays to some degree. I mean, Easter is very much Passover related. Thanksgiving makes sense to have this connection to... I mean, Thanksgiving was moved to November because of... because of
more turkeys than
well, it's turkey season, but there was moved to November for marketing purposes to start. I mean, it wasn't always November. It used to be like Canada. Canada has a Columbus Day weekend. That's Canadian Thanksgiving. Canadian Thanksgiving is more appropriate. I mean, it happens to be. It's always the Columbus same weekend as Columbus Day. We mess things up a lot, but that's when Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not. If you understand it's supposed to be a pilgrimage festival, what are you harvesting in November?
Unless you're in South Texas, though.
No, I mean, anywhere else where anybody was, you know, squash season is over already. Yeah. Anything about the fall, you think about fall fruits.
For the snow.
Okay, and this is it's intimately linked not only to Jewish history, the Exodus, it's also an agricultural cycle, important part of life of Israel. It's called Chag HaAsif, the festival of ingathering. It's Chag HaSukkot, the festival of booths. Chag HaZman Simchatenu, it's a season of rejoicing. Again, for 8 days, Sukkot is the longest and the most joyous of the festivals. Like other multi-day hospitals, Pesach, the immediate days of Sukkot, are called Chol HaMoed. So you have 2 days before, two and a half, we have actually more on Sukkot than we have at the beginning because of Simchat Torah, because we have Shmini Atzeret, which is the end of the Chag, Shmini Atzeret, the eighth day of whatever Atzeret means. Offhand, I don't know, but I'll know in a second because I forget. The Rishmi Atzeret. I'm not going to, again, I can go over the four species. You have Hoshana Rabbah, the last day, we go around it. You have, how much do you guys know about Lulav and Etrog? Okay, so Lulav and...
Is it a blessing?
Right, and you read, recite Hallel every day. It represents the four types of Jews.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
One that has taste and fragrance, the Etrog. One that has taste. One that has flavor. Or one that has smell. And one that has nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's myrtle... myrrh, willow, palm, and citron. Citron has both, and they represent, you know, whether you're tall, you know, to be wise, and Torah scholarly. You know, that's the sort of the you know so that's the balance. So the etrog is a perfect balance, a fragrance and taste. And if you ever had, I don't know if they do it here. A lot of Hebrew schools do. Make with everybody's etrogim, they make etrog marmalade. It's really good stuff. And you can actually see people make citron wine and stuff, so it's fresh stuff. Hey, Sophie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How's my
year? Everything is smashing. We're in the festivals.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Hoshana Rabbah, I mean, you guys have done this all. Naveen's on the phone outside. Awesome. And my dog is in the car. I don't want to bring him, because I want to drive Angel crazy. Open up all the windows, so. And he's in the shade. But I didn't want to drive Angel crazy when I was in the building.
Yeah.
Or Indy crazy, because Indy would have barked like crazy. But if you want to say hi to my dog, he's outside. He's much a schnauzer, which means he's barking. How was your day? Was everything good?
Yeah, pretty good, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. Shmini Atzeret. This is nowhere is the connection of humanity, the natural cycle of the year. Then you see this is the Shmini Atzeret, where you actually have the observance that we add certain things. And again, we'll go through some of the prayers and we do some of the prayers. There's a Shachayana here as well. There's Tai B'Shmini Atzeret and the changes of the natural world. We say actually the prayer for rain. Okay, when we start saying Morid HaGeshem, okay, it's said here during the Musaf Amidah, reminding the God of the faithfulness of the patriarchs of imploring the Eternal One to not withhold water. And this is the idea of that. And then we actually have is the Shmini Atzeret. A line is added to the Amidah. The phrase which concludes a prayer for rain: Mashiv haruach umarid hageshem. That's when we start saying that. But now we say Marid Hatal. We say it from this time till Pesach. You know what I'm talking about in the Amidah? You know, before Mechal Kal, we say Mashiv haruach umarid hageshem. Do you have it? I open up to Avinu Malkeinu. Guess what's right after Avinu Malkeinu? Is the Amidah. Right before the Slach Lana Avinu Kichatan. See? This, we add this line now. That's Shmini Atzeret. Okay? And it's also a key moment in another parallel cycle. This is when they end the Torah. This holiday that anticipates coming of winter, a turning inward, so it's entirely appropriate that we end the reading of the fifth book of the Torah with the moving passage which Moses dies. Okay, it's also the idea of a waning autumn. Things are going out there, so we now renew with the Torah cycle. And that we renew on an extra holiday that was added, an extra day called Simchat Torah. Okay, and obviously that's rejoicing in the Torah. The center of the reading of the Torah, people actually, it's a relatively new holiday by Jewish standards. It's only a mere 1,000 years old.
Mm.
Okay, it wasn't really celebrated until about the 9th century. So it's post-rabbinic, but it's really rabbinic because something was done with the
Simchat Torah.
Simchat Torah.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you dance around, you have seven hakafas of dancing with the Torah. People actually, everybody gets an aliyah. There's a couple of special aliyahs that are given. The last aliyah and the first aliyah are special aliyahs. They also have an aliyah before the last aliyah called the Kol HaNe'arim. They give a blessing to all the children can get an aliyah. So it's kind of, you know, I don't know what they do here, so I don't want to go into things that they don't do here. Again, we do the pre-class that I always will go into more detail with this stuff because I'll have a machzor in front of us. I'll actually walk people through the machzor. It's easy to do. Hanukkah is the next holiday because you have nothing in Cheshvan. Okay, it's the 25th of Kislev. I don't know how much you know about Hanukkah. I'm guessing more than other holidays. It's the okay. It's commemorating two different parallel stories. The story of the wine, so of the oil. They found one day of oil, one day's worth, to rededicate it after this, all these decrees by Antiochus Epiphanes, to have the Jews not study Torah, to force them to eat pork, to bring pork and sacrifice pig in the temple, make the temple. So they needed to rededicate the temple. They would normally have rededicated the temple this time of year, but it takes 8 days to process a new batch of oil. So they didn't think they would have enough oil to light the menorah, to give it enough time to make the oil, but it lasted for 8 days. So that's the miracle of it, of that one day of oil lasting 8 days. So that's the miracle that we commemorate according to the rabbis. However, the other great miracle was this, you know, anti-establishment kind of rise up against the oppressors, the fight for justice, the fight for, you know, which was led by Judah Maccabee. And the Maccabees, as you know, were Hasmoneans, which were Sadducees, which were not Pharisees, who became the rabbis. So they didn't want to have a holiday that glorified the triumph of their counterparts in the temple priesthood. So, lo and behold, we kept commemorate more of the oil and do things with the oil and less with the reenactment of the actual battle of the Hasmonean. I mean, we emphasize it more now because it's more of an American tradition, if you want, or an Israeli thing, the idea of not being oppressed. This is a holiday fighting oppression. It's very much an Israeli slash American kind of thing to fight those that want to, you know, especially if you're part of the civil rights movements. So it's really, it brings that connection. There's a lot of civil rights stuff to it. And obviously we have a lot of oil stuff. We eat everything with oil. You name it, go for it. We also play a game with dreidel, gelt, and all that stuff. I mean, I'm running through these kinds of holidays because you guys have all celebrated them before. I'm going to have an individual lesson that probably with Nadine because she has no idea what we're talking about at this point. The next holiday is Tu B'Shvat. Right? Tu B'Shvat is the new year for trees. You guys did a Seder here last year?
No.
Okay. With Tiferet. You did a joint one with Tiferet. You did one with Tiferet last year. I don't know if you guys came to it.
Yeah.
We're going to do another one this year with Tiferet. With Rabbi Milner. Rabbi Milner led it.
I don't think we're able to, but...
Yeah. And Tu B'Shvat, the reason to do a Seder is just to have... And basically, what's cool with a Seder is they do four glasses of wine, but you start off with white and slowly get to red.
Yeah.
Or the other way around, depending on how you want to do it. It's all mystical. There's all these mystical things about the birthday of trees. You eat new fruits that come from the different parts of the tree and different items. And it's a really cool holiday, a very kiddie holiday.
Now, I want to know everything, but obviously it's a lot of information.
Okay. That's why I gave you the links to follow up.
No.
This is sort of the introductory piece to go into to do more.
But I mean, like, when we take the test...
To which one you should know what it is?
No, I mean, do we have to know, like, every, like... lighting the candle like on a Chag on Shabbat.
Well, you don't light a candle for Tu B'Shvat, but yes, you should know when it's appropriate to light the candles. The questions, it's an open note test. You'll have like a week to do it.
No.
Oh, a week the test. To do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get online, you can do what you want.
No.
Yeah.
I want to know it, you know.
But you will know it by then. You'll be doing like that's how you should be doing it. She knows that we're doing holidays today, and then she did all the notes to prep so that everything that I'm doing is just review. And then there's things that I missed, so she adds those things in. That's a good way of doing it. So I'm going to always send out those links. Use them. Whether you use them before class or after class, always use those links. They're good links.
She did those before.
All right? Yeah. Well, she has a lot of time. She has more time than most of us have. Purim. Okay, is the next holiday, comes from the book of Esther. The day before Purim, we do the fast of Esther, remembering the fast that Esther did. I'm not going to go into the full, I was here for Purim, so we talked a lot, we did a class on Purim, so I'm not going to go much into Purim. Obviously, it's a Jewish Mardi Gras, same time of year as Mardi Gras. I wonder if there's any connection. I don't know, Fat Tuesdays, I don't know.
Other than the beads, no.
The costumes. Well, it's not. Purim itself means lots. Haman was going to cast lots. You guys know the story, so I'm not going to go into too much detail. Obviously, it's in Adar, so we're in Adar now. After that, we have Pesach. I'm really not going to do much with Pesach. Pesach, we did a Nazim, so I'm not going to go into too much details now. Pesach is a great thing to do when you have the Seder plate around you. But you guys should know, we did a lot with Pesach, and Sachi did a lot inside the Seder. We explained a lot. You guys are there for that. But clearly, if there's questions about Pesach, that's a question you'll be able to figure out. In between this, from the second night of Pesach, 7 weeks later, okay, we count the Omer. It's actually the Omer itself, although it's not a holiday, it is biblical. We're supposed to count between the days. It's biblical. Okay. We also add in the prayer for dew on. We go to Morit HaTal from the Geshem in the second part of the holiday. Okay, we count obviously 50 days. In between, there are some minor holidays that are post-rabbinic. Yom HaShoah, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaAtzmaut, and Yom Yerushalayim are all minor, as well as Lag BaOmer, which is the 32nd day of the Omer, which commemorates the Bar Kokhba revolt.
And there's new ones coming out, aren't they?
Those are that. That's it. There's no new ones. That's it. Shavuot, again is the last of the is the summer harvest festival. Okay, it's when we receive the tablets from Sinai. We just had the holiday. I know we spoke about it here. And then you have the minor fast days. I mentioned one of them, Tzom Gedalia, which is the third of Tishrei, which is the day after Yom Kippur, after Rosh Hashanah. And that Gedalia was the first and only Jewish governor under Babylonian rule when he was assassinated on Rosh Hashanah. By a Jew hired by Ammonites, rivals to the Israelites, the remaining Jewish loyalists fled to Egypt. Nebuchadnezzar interpreted their flight as a confession of guilt and exiled the remainder of the Jewish population to Babylonia, hence the fast. Asara B'Tevet, in Tevet, we have marks the day in which Nebuchadnezzar's armies began the siege of Jerusalem that eventually led to the destruction of the first temple. Ta'anit Esther, we talked about. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the 17th day of Tammuz, is the day on which the Babylonians first breached the walls of Jerusalem in 586 BCE. It also is a day in legend on which Moses shattered the first set of tablets in the sin of the golden calf. It inaugurates a period of public mourning called the 3 weeks, which is a period leading between the 17th of Tammuz up until Tisha B'Av. There's no Jewish weddings allowed. Summer, that's why there's not a lot of Jewish summer weddings. Okay. Observant Jews may not get married. Ashkenazi practice also bars ones getting their hair cut and shaving. Sephardic Jews do that. But the Sephardim only do that from the first of Av. And actually, from the first of Av to the ninth of Av, which is the days of the seizures taking place, we don't eat meat. Except on Shabbat.
What about the cutting? Sorry, I'm just talking about cutting hair. So I'm thinking about, you know.
During the Omer, people don't do it either.
No. And I'm thinking of
military,
you know, up to 3-year-old.
Oh, that's the ush that we do life cycle events, that'll come up.
That's part of the subject.
Yeah, okay. Tisha B'Av is actually a minor but major festival. Okay, and this is the only other holiday. The other fast days I just mentioned all start in the morning and go to the night. Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur. It's actually the longest fast because of the summer months. Okay, it is indicative of the seriousness of Tisha B'Av. Basically, it's the other fast days connected with the destruction of the first temple. This is with the second temple. And a lot of other tragedies just happened to happen. You know, both temples were destroyed in this day. The second temple stood. Tisha B'Av was observed in a solemn day of mourning. And then it was the saddest day on the Jewish calendar. By custom said that both the first and second temples were destroyed on this day. It was destroyed actually on the 10th of Av by historical, but 9th of Av it was pretty much destroyed. Destruction began the 9th and the big ruling is the post-Tammuz period had latter tragedies. And there's also things. The Bar Kokhba revolt was crushed on Tisha B'Av. In 1190, the entire Jewish population of York, England was massacred on that day. This is the infamous blood libel. The blood of Christian children is part of the religious right. Tisha B'Av in 1290, King Edward I signed the order banishing all Jews from England. Although the last Jews left Spain in 1492, 4 days before it went into effect, the expulsion order for the King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, the deadline of the Tisha B'Av for their final departure. At Tisha B'Av in 1942, the Nazis began deportations from Warsaw to the death camp of Treblinka. Pretty bad day for the Jewish people.
So why, I've heard like stuff like that before. So is it pre-planned, you know, 9th of Av, you know, to be something like
this? It just happens to be.
It just happens.
Yeah, we read Lamentations on that one, which is Miguel Echa.
So just the spies bad report on the Tisha, wasn't it?
That's like 13th.
No. May, no.
We just read this, we know. It may have been, but that's part of the minhag. But
I said that's like a Friday the 13th in Jewish world.
This is like our, that's Yom HaShoah, because we even do Holocaust commemoration. Now the five Megillot, we read them on various holidays. We read Kohelet or Ecclesiastes on Sukkot. We read Esther on Purim. On Pesach we read the Song of Songs. Shavuot we read Ruth, and Tisha B'Av we read Eicha and Lamentations. We read some interesting readings they list all the readings on the various holidays. I don't need to go into them. We'll go over them when we get to those holidays. So that's basically the holidays in a nutshell. So we didn't do it in as great detail as that, but the links that I gave you, both My Jewish Learning and Judaism 101, have great links about the holidays. I mean, that's the place we should be taking notes from, and you should do the test from your notes, not from the internet. That's how you learn what the stuff is. Most Jews don't know everything. The great thing is a lot of you see the reading today have in the back of them things that you do on the holidays. They also, Art Scroll, which has a sale still going out, 30% off, has all these books. I think we have one of them. Let me just erase this.
No,
that I would. This is a good investment if you want. But I always, for a long, long time, and I haven't done it for the last couple of years, but I always buy a new book on repentance, every Rosh that I read on Rosh Hashanah. But I think we have a couple of them here. I think we do. I don't have it here. I'll bring one of the festival books. Art Scroll says it holds a whole series that talks just about the holiday. I use it for Pesach all the time. Let's see if it's here. I saw it at some point. Okay, so I'll bring one of those things on Sunday to show you guys what it is. And you can, if you wanted to buy for different holidays, if you wanted to budget yourself out to buy them, I would buy one every year. I play it out.